Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready? It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment.
Unbelievable!
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Oh, it is our number three of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with PJ Glasser. PJ doing an awesome job filling in for Nick Kostos. Nick will be back with us on Sunday with You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff with Sam Panayotovich as they take you up to kickoff here from 11 to 1 Eastern time as we get ready for a Week 14 Sunday slate in the NFL that should be an absolute banger. Speaking of the National Football League, by the way, just got this news from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero. Chicago Bears wide receiver Roma Dunze, we knew he was ruled out for Sunday's game against the Green Bay Packers, but apparently he's been playing with a stress fracture in his foot per sources, and Dunze just needs rest and is week to week. This is from Pelissero, that the belief is it's nothing long term and he'll be back soon. So just, I guess, keep that in mind going forward as we head into the important time of the National Football League season here with the final 5 weeks. So Roma Dunze out this Sunday, and maybe this is a week-to-week deal for the Chicago Bears wide receiver. We will get into some college football coming up in about 20 minutes. Sounds like Penn State might find their new head coach. After looking like this was going to be a disastrous head coaching search, the Nittany Lions might have saved the day with a guy out in Ames, Iowa. We'll get into that coming up in 20 minutes. But PJ, I wanted to start this hour off with a fun conversation. And maybe it's not so fun, but it's a conversation that will allow us to look back on some interesting moments in the world of sports. I saw this tweet from the Ringer's Van Lathan last night, and it's so fitting because it was during a Cowboys loss. I'm like watching the game. I'm like, oh, let me scroll Twitter, what's happening? And he tweeted this last night, and it's simple. What's the worst sports moment of your life? ? Tell me. He wants to know the worst sports moment of your life. I have one that comes to mind immediately for me. Yeah. I'm sure you have one, but I want to get our entire crew's thoughts on their worst sports moment. Bill, Jake, Tyler, Addie, if you got one, Mike Brown, if you have one. Like, I think this is such a fascinating conversation. I'll kick things off here just because I give some people some time to think about this and also get their mics up and make sure they're ready to roll. But for me, PJ, worst sports moment of my life, it's the 2006 wild card in the NFC, like the Cowboys-Seahawks game. Tony Romo dropping the snap, which would have given the Cowboys the lead late in the fourth quarter. And it's not because it was like the biggest Cowboys game. They've lost other games. They've lost the Dez catch game was in the divisional round. They lost in the Jared Cook game in the same round to the Green Bay Packers. They've had some like heartbreaking losses in the playoffs. But given the fact that I grew up in the Seattle area, and all of my friends are Seahawks fans growing up, like, I was ridiculed the entire week. I was in high school at the time. just absolutely ridiculed the entire week at school. Just, oh, Romo drops the snap. Romo this, Romo that. And that the season was so fun because Romo saved the day because Drew Bledsoe had been playing poorly. Parcells turns to Tony Romo midseason. Cowboys go on the run. They make the playoffs. But to me, that is the worst sports moment of my life. Tony Romo dropping the snap. And unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys losing to the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC wildcard round. It still pisses me off to this day just thinking about it and thinking about all the nonsense I had to take at school that following Monday and for the rest of the entire week until the Chicago Bears, of course, beat the Seattle Seahawks in the divisional round the next Sunday. But that's my worst sports moment, PJ. What is yours in your lifetime worst sports moment?
2012 AFC Championship game, Ravens-Patriots, Billy Cundiff shanking that field goal. What makes it even worse, Femi, was I was at the game. My dad and
I. Oh, no!
I'll never forget. So it was in Foxborough, right? I'll never forget that Wednesday leading up to the game. Like, for some reason, I had a lot of homework or something. I was in high school, and I didn't want to go to, like, rec basketball practice or something. I was playing in a league with my buddies. And my dad writes on a piece of paper, he's like, would you go if you had two tickets to the AFC Championship? And I was like, excuse me? So we took a bus up to Foxborough, 7 hours. And, I mean, the game was going great until it wasn't. And I think people can relate. When you're at a football game, it's tough to know sometimes, like, whether a kicker makes the field goal or not, you know? Like, if you're on the side, you kind of have to look at the crowd reaction. Femi, you could tell right away. Cundiff just shanked that field goal. I mean, Lee Evans getting that pass knocked out of his hands. That's the one, man. We were all celebrating. We saw Evans, Flacco throw the ball to Evans. We saw him. We thought he hauled it in. We were celebrating, and I will remember it till the day I die. A Patriots fan goes, he dropped it. He dropped it. And I was like, what do you mean he dropped it? I just saw him catch the ball, and then he dropped it. And then Cundiff runs out, misses. So that was tough.
See, you blame Billy Cundiff. I blame Lee Evans more so than anything. Like, I thought Lee Evans was the biggest culprit in the game. Like, catch the damn ball. Because Cundiff was that would have just tied it, if I'm correct, right? Like,
would've
that ties
it.
The game.
Correct.
And, like, you're probably going to overtime. If Lee Evans catches the football, you just win.
No, like, it's fair.
You win the AFC.
It's fair. I will say, too, which helped is the fact that they went back to Foxborough the next year and beat them and then won the Super Bowl. So that helped. But yeah, being there for that and thinking they were going to go to the Super Bowl was awesome. And then just having that victory just snatched out from underneath you was rough.
Yeah, that was a rough championship Sunday because that was the first game. And then the second game was the Giants at the Niners. And then you get the Kyle Williams fumbling. He fumbled the first punt return, then muffed the other one. Or I think it might have been vice versa. But the Niners should have won that game. And then the Giants went on to go ahead and beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. But yeah, that was a really entertaining conference championship Sunday. But a couple of goats out of that one. Kyle Williams, Lee Evans, Billy Cundiff. That I don't know if they've lived those down since those moments. Let's bring in our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. With his wealth of sports knowledge. Bill, what is the worst sports moment of your life?
See, as a Bears fan, I think a lot of people are like, oh, it's the double doink. But I had already been hardened over years of Chicago sports. So, that bummed me out for a couple minutes, but I wasn't crushed by it. But for me, like, there's games, like when I was at Syracuse, there were some games that really bothered me. I was at the Orange Bowl where Donovan McNabb and Syracuse lost to Florida. Javon Kearse terrorized Donovan McNabb. I remember sitting in my seat despondent. There was a Sweet 16 where I thought the Orange got a hose job of a seed. They got the 4 seed in 2000 in the Michigan State region, and they should have been a 2 or at least a 3 seed, and they had a huge lead that was in Detroit. The court was green and black. It was an obvious home game, so that bothered me. But for me, and when I was talking this through with Femi, like, I actually started getting viscerally angry again because I haven't thought about it in so long. It's when the baseball season was canceled in 1994 because the White Sox were a wagon. And I love the White Sox. They are arguably, I love them even more than the Bears. They've just been so useless for so long. It just hasn't been a reason to cheer for them. But that season, Frank Thomas, you couldn't get him out. They had great pitching with Jack McDowell, Alex Fernandez. They had an incredible record. They had like 70 wins. They only had like 15 or 20 saves because they were beating the crap out of everybody. They were a great baseball team. I thought they were going to win the World Series. And the fact that Jerry Reinsdorf was the owner that drove the wedge between the players and the owners and caused that strike even more. Like, you can just tell, I'm just getting angry just talking about how that season was lost. So for me, it's actually an off-the-field thing. It's the fact that the White Sox season in 1994 was ruined.
I can't get the White Sox were a wagon.
Oh, man.
we're going in the Wayback Machine. We absolutely love it.
They were so good, man.
I mean, I'm sure, you know what, Bill? I'm sure there's Expos fans that are like, man, like, we're right there with you. That 94 strike, and we were going to win the World Series. And for those of you who are young that might be listening, say, what the hell is an Expo? They used to be a baseball team in Montreal. But they were really good. They were awesome in that 94 season. Tough break here. Jake Hassan, our awesome engineer out there in Chicago. Jake, what is the worst sports moment of your life?
Mine is slightly more recent than the 1994 MLB season that was famously canceled. But I just want to say, Bill is right about one thing. Everybody's expecting the double doink. PJ Glasser thinks he's so clever sending the Cody Parkey gif in the group chat.
Yeah.
Sick, PJ. Kick rocks, buddy. No, it's not that. Because also, famously, I didn't even get to watch that game. I was on a plane that didn't have Wi-Fi. Awesome. Great. Anyway,
well,
let's take everybody to a little time called March 21st, 2021. And far be it for me to speak ill of the dead, but Sister Jean, I'll see you down there one day. That was the worst. That team with Io DeSumo, Kofi Coburn, a team averaging 80 points a game, scores 58 in the second round of the NCAA tournament, goes in as the number one seed. All of the vibes. Tyler, don't even say that fat lard's name in the chat.
Cameron Crutwig
in his stupid little caterpillar mustache, the sweatiest human on earth, has been balding since he was 7 years old. That fat slob just takes Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn. That was still when Andre Curbelo was good, and just ejects them from the tournament. I remember, and not only that, we were still coming out of COVID. I was living at my parents', and I'm just sitting in my childhood bedroom, just having my soul ripped straight out of my body. I had to go for a walk after that game. I was gone for 45 minutes. Like, I couldn't. Oh. It was the worst. It was the absolute worst. Wherever Cameron Crutwick is, I hope he's having a bad day. And Sister Jean, I hope it's hot.
I had Loyola Chicago in it. I had Loyola in an upset in that game, Femi, actually. So
of course you did. You know what?
We
can see coming.
Jake exited stage left.
He's no longer with Chicago. But honestly, though, I had a 50-1 on Illinois that season because when we got the notification, because of course everything was all backloaded because of the COVID and all that stuff. But it was hey, Kofi Coburn, Io DeSumo, they're coming back to Champaign. I jammed in 50-1 Illinois to win the title. I loved that team all season. I thought they were gonna beat Gonzaga that year, and then of course the season ends how it does. Just a ridiculous. When you saw the draw, you knew it was coming. That was the worst part about it. Selection Sunday. Selection Sunday comes and it's Loyola Chicago's the 8. Great. Yeah.
Top
Illinois
10
is gonna
Ken
lose
Palm
this
team.
Game.
Yeah, literally.
And the whole thing, it was
top seed
rigged
in the tournament.
rigged for made for TV moment that was just absolutely insane. So I'm right there with you, Jake. That, not my worst moment, but it did piss me off. Cameron Crutwig. Tyler Morales. Tyler, what's the worst sports moment of your life? You're an Eagles fan. You've seen some great moments recently. What's the worst sports moment of your life?
Yeah, and this doesn't involve my favorite teams at all. I've been blessed, luckily, with seeing championships in my life. But the worst moment, to be honest, I'm not even trying to be dramatic. This actually might be the worst moment of my life, which says probably I've had a decent life. But this might actually be the worst moment of my life, is when Duke lost to Houston in the Final Four last year in the NCAA tournament. Let me tell you. I spent $300. I saw our guy PJ there. I spent $300 to go see Duke play Alabama in Newark at the Elite Eight, thinking this is going to be a Duke coronation where I'm going to see my team make the Final Four. I sat with the Duke alumni. I just came out of Math 101 at Duke or something. I don't know. And I'm over there with the alumni celebrating. And that game, it's not even the financial implications of that loss was I'm not going to lie, it's kind of hard to talk about. It really is on the show. This is going to be more of a therapy session for me. it was tough for all of us. We had a lot of parlays and futures tied with Duke winning the national championship. I still haven't watched the highlights. And the worst part is, like, you couldn't even hedge out of the bets because it happened so quick in the last 4 minutes that the sportsbook just locked everything because no one really understood what was happening. So you couldn't even hedge out of any of your Duke stuff while Tyrese Proctor just turned over the ball. And Kaman Malawach is getting zero rebounds over Juwan Roberts. Like, I'm not going to curse, but I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty heated talking about this this Duke Houston game. Literally, worst moment of my life was Duke losing to Houston in the Final Four because of Tyrese Proctor and Kaman Malawach. They get the blame for this.
An absolute sell job. I remember I put in a pretty massive Duke, and I think was it UConn that was playing in the women's national title game the next day. I had a monster parlay because I had lost a bunch on Auburn because that was my team the whole year. Auburn blew the game to Florida in the early game. Then here's Duke and messing it up for me against Houston. It was really, really poor. We got about 60 seconds left. Addie, we'll start with you. Let us know your worst sports moment of your lifetime, and Mike will get you as well.
To talk really fast here. It's amazing that I am still alive after 2019 because it ended with me at the 2019 World Series where the Astros lost. But it started with the worst game I've ever seen in my life. January 20th, 2019, Saints, Rams, missed pass interference. I'm telling you, it's amazing I'm still alive right now. I still get that on my feed, and every time I see it, I remind myself I live on the 12th floor. In the jump, I think it would do it. I think it would actually work. I think it would work this time.
That is brutal.
I mean, the most blatant PI call of all time.
They win the game if they just call pass interference.
Yeah.
They
win the game.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say this, though.
Broke her glasses. She was so mad.
They did win the coin toss in overtime. There was a chance, but Drew Brees threw a pick. I'll just say that. We're going to get Mike.
Okay. All right. Third break. We're done.
We're going to get Mike Brown's worst sports moment on the other side. It's
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Friday. Femi Bembe, PJ Glasser. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. The fun continued during the break as we were all reminiscing on the worst sports
today.
Moments. It is a very fun show. And we still have to hear
I'm
from Mike Brown.
Yeah,
we still need, like Mike Brown, you're not getting away free, buddy. Like pop
Should
on.
We try and guess what? Real quick? It's got to be something Jets, right? It's got to be something
Jets. He's a big Jets fan.
He's a big Jets fan. I think it's got to be something Jets related. That's my guess.
The only Jets meaningful games I can think of are like the AFC title games from my
I'm
back.
Thinking,
like,
yes. The one against like 09, the Steelers, maybe. Like, yeah, the AFC title game.
Comeback.
Yeah,
well, let's hear it from the man himself, Mike Brown, our video producer here on You Better You Bet. What is the worst sports moment of your lifetime?
Well, you know, smart money would be on the Jets. I've got a lot of favorite of them. The butt fumble will live on in infamy forever.
Yeah.
But
happy Thanksgiving, everyone. You know, yeah, that was a tough one.
Aaron Rodgers snapping his ankle 4 plays into the season.
True.
Also. But no, I'm going all the way back to college, and I'm going all the way back to 2010. ESPN used to have a 24-hour marathon of college basketball games just to kick off the season, which was a fun time.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Monmouth University, my alma mater, was selected to host one of the tip-off games, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
6 in the morning, Monmouth versus Stony Brook. I'm there. I'm part of, you know, the campus TV station. So, you know, I'm trying to go there. I'm getting footage. I'm there to interview players, help people out, maybe, you know, get some business cards from ESPN people because this is my senior year. I'm going to be looking for a job soon. Get there at 4:30 in the morning. Didn't mingle with anybody. And to top it all off, Monmouth loses by 2 points. Final score was... the Hawks 40. I actually looked this up. Technology is great. The Hawks 49, Stony Brook 51. It came down to the last second, and a field goal would tie it. A 3-pointer would win it. Will Campbell goes up there. I can count on one hand how many 3-pointers he made in the whole game and have fingers left. And I'm like, okay, he's going to go up. He's going to, you know, no one on him. He's just going to, you know, score a 2-pointer, take us to overtime. Awesome. Goes for a 3-pointer, misses, and the air just gets let out of the Mac at Monmouth University.
The Mac.
And then we all everyone walks to the dining hall like they're, like, you know, they just watched something very sad and very tragic happened. On top of that off, it was like a Thursday. We all had to go to class afterwards. So, yeah.
Oh.
Shout out Will Campbell, wherever you are.
Will Campbell,
wherever you are.
I hope Will Campbell is listening right now.
And not New England Patriots left tackle Will Campbell. not that Will Campbell. But like the early slate game, because like ESPN doesn't do that anymore. I wish they did.
They should.
Like the 24-hour tip-off thing.
Hawaii was 4 a.m. And then Mike's right. It was like a small school in like New Jersey or Pennsylvania. It was the six. It was the greatest. The Midnight Madness.
Yeah, Midnight Madness. I love it. And this is why we love sports. Because we all have these worst moments, but sports still bring us back. Honestly, if I'm judging PJ, I think Addy won this one. Like I don't know if I would have kept watching the NFL after that. Like the no call in the NFC title game.
That to me,
at that point, you just have to like sit there and say, you know what, this is no longer for me.
Yeah,
that's what I would have done. I'm like, if the Cowboys get screwed like that, oh my gosh,
I agree.
Trip to the Super Bowl on the line.
Yeah,
no flag.
That I agree. And then as we were talking about off break, the Minnesota Miracle, the Minneapolis Miracle, was the following year with Marcus Williams, where he misses the tackle and Diggs goes down the sideline. So. Back that they had that 2 straight years, that was tough, though. I mean, there were so many flags that could have been called on that play. You could have called pass interference. You could have called unnecessary roughness. You could have called targeting. You could have called so many different things, and not one. Not one.
Nothing. Nope. Swallow the whistle. Let them play, boys.
That's what we're doing.
Let them play. And then, like, it is pretty, like, cherry on top that the Saints did, like, actually win the coin toss in overtime. But
real quick, I know we're getting to talk college football before we do, and bowl season's coming up. I got an honorable mention, nothing to do with my team, but the worst gambling beat of all time. I know Tyler remembers this game. Do you remember the 2014 Popeyes Bahamas Bowl between Western Kentucky and Central Michigan when Central Michigan was up 35 in the fourth quarter? 35 in the fourth quarter, and they were a 1.5-point favorite. They're up 35. Western Kentucky scores an 80-yard touchdown with no time left. There's 1 second on the clock. They score an 80-yard touchdown and then go for two. So regardless, you lose your bet. It is the most unbelievable game to this day I have still seen. I encourage everybody to go watch the highlights. Watch the final play that tied the game. They throw like a 55, 60-yard pass, and then they throw like four laterals to get the final 20 yards. Femi, it's the worst. Truly,
ball
the
season.
Worst.
That's ball season for you.
Oh my God, that game. I'll always remember.
It makes me sad because like bowl season's like it's lost its luster. Like let's be honest, you know, like all the coaching staffs are all like going to different places. The players are in the portal. It's they're all exhibitions now. But they used to bring such great moments, crazy comebacks. I'm a Husky fan, so I always remember like the Huskies playing in these like wild holiday bowl games whenever they couldn't make it to the Rose Bowl, like just insane games. And now it's more so just like, hey, here's like a bunch of freshmen playing because everybody else that has already put tape out there is in the transfer portal. So it's not as fun anymore. But I guess, hey, there's still betting opportunities and maybe we can bet them if you get the information to go out there and bet them. Speaking of which, college football coaching changes. That brings us into this conversation after a fun convo on worst sports moment of our lifetimes. How about this, PJ, from ESPN's Pete Famel? We thought that Penn State might be headed towards disaster town with their coaching search, but not so fast. The Penn State Nittany Lions are working toward a deal with Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell to become the next head coach at Penn State. Now, Pete Thamel's reporting that there's multiple steps needed to finalize, including agreeing to terms and the formal approval of compensation. He then later added the sides met in Iowa last night and have been working toward an agreement since. Nothing is signed and there's still a few steps remaining for this to come to fruition. But boy, oh boy, this is a Hail Mary that was caught by Matt Campbell and Penn State, because like I did not think this was going to end well for the Nittany Lions. I thought it was going to be the interim head coach or some sort of coach that is undesirable, but here they are. Matt Campbell, one of the early names that we talked about when they fired James Franklin. It was him and Matt Rhule. Rhule, of course, signed the extension to stay with Nebraska. Matt Campbell, though, after all these years and maybe leaving Ames, Iowa, it sounds like he finally found the job that would make him leave, and it looks like we're headed towards Matt Campbell being the new head coach of the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, and you know, Iowa State played in the Big 12 title game last year, so Matt Campbell has proven that he can win, he can be successful in kind of this NIL transfer portal era. He certainly hit his peak when he had Brock Purdy and Breece Hall and those really good Iowa State teams. Mm-hmm. He's a good coach.
Did he maximize those guys, though?
Like, he didn't.
Looking back on that, not really. Here's Brock Purdy. Here's David Montgomery. It's like,
yeah, he has some really good teams. That was definitely
the peak of
the Matt Campbell era for sure. I mean, Tyler gives us the stat in the chat, which is a good one. James Franklin versus top 25 teams in his career: 15-28. Matt Campbell: 16-27. So Penn State to get a better guy against top 25 teams, one game better, 16-27.
We are the best teams.
I think it's a decent fit, though. You know, the way Campbell's teams play, I think, are kind of the DNA that Penn State want, where they're going to be good defensively, they're going to run the football. The key with Campbell, it's all going to be about those big games. You know, like, they're not going to care what you do against Rutgers or Maryland or Northwestern or Michigan State. Can you beat the Buckeyes? Can you beat the Wolverines? Can you beat Oregon? And again, in the Big 12, you know, especially when Campbell was there, Texas and Oklahoma, you only really got like a couple games a year where you can take down some of the big boys, some of the big brands. That's what he's going to be judged on. Considering what Penn State was left with and how many different directions they could have gone in, I think ultimately ending up with Campbell is probably as good as they could have done. But, I mean, he's got his hands full, Femi, because as we know, I mean, signing day was a couple days ago, and they're like 130th in those rankings. So maybe he's bringing a bunch of guys with him from Iowa State, potentially, and he's going to get a bunch of guys in the portal. But, yeah, this doesn't move the needle for me. Now I'm not like, oh, Penn State's got their guy. Like, now they're going to go beat those good teams. They're going to win Big Ten championships, win a national title. I don't feel that way.
How good is the Penn State job, in your opinion? Because I think that's been the whole conversation ever since they fired James Franklin, and especially when Kurt Cignetti said, I'm staying in Indiana, I'm not going to take the Penn State job. Like, obviously, NIL has changed the dynamics of what the ceiling is at certain places. Like, Indiana, yeah, 10 years ago, no one's ever staying at Indiana and passing up a job at Penn State. But now, given the NIL, and if you have a collective that's willing to invest in your program, then you can make Indiana a premier program like Kurt Cignetti has done in just 2 short years. But how good is this job if all of these dynamics starting to kind of level out and now it's still a job, and no disrespect to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, or State College or whatever, but like, it's a job at State College, Pennsylvania. It doesn't seem like a whole lot of people want to be there, at least from my vantage point.
I've compared it to the Big Ten, Tennessee, right? I think the way Tennessee is in the SEC is the way Penn State is in the Big Ten, where they had their run, where they were dominant, they were towards the nation's elite, and they view themselves in the top tier. Like Tennessee views themselves with the Alabamas, with the Georgias, with the LSUs. Penn State puts themselves in that category, when in reality, like, you're just not. That's why when Tennessee was going through that coaching search about 7-8 years ago, they were having a lot of the same issues. But both...
it got messy, too.
It did get messy. Both programs, though, have great home field advantages. I mean, when Neyland's rocking with those checkerboards, it's awesome. We all know the whiteout's great for Penn State. So that's how I've always looked at it. I don't think it's one of the top-tier elite jobs in the country. I think they're in one of the two best conferences in college football. I think it's a really good job, but I think it's tier two. I don't think it's one of those tier one jobs. I would say it's like one of the top 20, maybe 25 jobs in the country.
Yeah, and especially too, like when you look at the dynamics of the Big Ten and the teams that they're going to be competing with. Obviously, Ohio State's, they're going nowhere. Like, I know, like, everyone's freaking out. Like, oh my God, they lost Brian Hartline. Yeah, they're okay. They just signed Chris Henry Jr. Like, that's, it's all good, folks, in Columbus. Like, they're going to be okay with the recruiting and all that stuff. But, like, Indiana clearly is going to be here to stay with Kurt Cignetti and how they're attacking the portal and how, yep, they're recruiting and the finances that are going into their program. You have Oregon with all that Nike money. You got Michigan. Like, Michigan, they just got the stud running back that I saw his high school highlights yesterday on my Twitter timeline. He's a 5-star running back. I'm like, is this Adrian Peterson? Like, who is this kid? Like, you know, like, he's going to be a stud. Like, so clearly the Wolverines aren't going anywhere. There's so much competition with these super conferences. I just don't know what the ceiling is for, like, a team like Penn State. And, like, have they recalibrated what is realistic at State College? Because, like, that's where, and I'm hoping for Matt Campbell's sake, that's very clear. Because if they go 8-4, 9-3, and that's what they are as a program, are the folks going to be happy with that? Because that's what James Franklin was doing for, like, the last, like, 7-8 years, and you just fired that dude. So clearly you weren't happy with that, but unfortunately I think that's kind of what you are, even though you want to be something better, and you should always want to be better. But, like, being better at that level with this sport, it's damn hard to break through that glass ceiling. I'm just not so sure they have the potential to actually do it, barring something unforeseen.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, college football, yes, there's a lot of parity, but at the end of the day, it tends to be pretty chalky, you know? I mean, like, the last couple teams that have won the national title, it's been Ohio State, it's been Georgia, it's been Bama, it's been Harbaugh in Michigan. Like, it's your blue bloods, it's your premier programs, you know? I mean, like, the last time, I think, off the top of my head, that you can kind of go through and maybe be, like, a top-tier great program who won a title was maybe, like, Clemson. You know, they're not, like, one of the top, yeah, top teams, but they're still pretty good. And maybe Penn State's kind of, like, on that tier. But we saw it took Dabo some years. Remember, Femi, the early parts of the Dabo years with the Clemsoning, right? How they would, mm-hmm, always, it was very much like the James Franklin.
They
would, yeah, choke. They couldn't win the big game until finally they could. And now we view them through a different lens. He's obviously struggled here the last 5 or 6 years, but Clemson was on a roll. So, you know, that was the thing with James Franklin. He's a great recruiter. He's a good coach. He could just never get over that hump. But I do think this is one of those cases for Penn State where they're going to regret the decision. You know, as bad as they were playing, and as much as that Oregon loss just completely deflated those guys, I think you just got to chalk it up to just a brutal year, regroup. You know, maybe they thought they could have gotten somebody a lot better. And again, Campbell's a good coach, but I don't think he's going to do much better than what James Franklin was able to do there.
Yeah. It's, like, to me, it more so, like, if you want potential in college football and, like, you want to be able to break through, it has to be the right path. Like, that's why, like, Franklin at Virginia Tech, maybe that's the right path for him in an ACC that clearly is not very good. You yeah. take a look at the teams. We have Duke and Virginia in the ACC title game. We're not talking about basketball, folks. Like, this is football. Like, clearly the conference is down. And the Big 12, Texas Tech can do what they're doing because the Big 12 has been absolutely gutted by Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC. So there's room for somebody to go in there and be the disruptor that takes it home. In the Big 10, there's just not that room. And unfortunately for these teams, hey, they wanted to sign up for these super conferences. Well, here's what you get. It's going to be damn difficult to be that kind of team in your conference when there's so many juggernauts that you have to play every single week. All right, on the other side, we'll talk conference title games, American, Sun Belt, and more coming up next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe, PJ Glasser, hanging with you guys on this Friday. Been a fun show. Show's been going by fast, and all we have left to do is give out a bunch of bets. So make sure you stick around for that. College football, college hoops, NFL, it's all coming up all the way till the end of the program at 7 o'clock Eastern time. But first, want to let everybody know, you're going to be betting college football this weekend, right? Well, how about you take advantage of this promotion from our friends at BetMGM? No matter where the college football action is, there's nothing like getting in the game and leveling up on your next parlay. Use today's Parlay Boost token to boost your potential payout from a winning college football parlay. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and please gamble responsibly. All right, make sure you take advantage of that because our guy PJ Glasser is about to be giving out some winners with some of these G5 conference title games that we have getting underway tonight. But before we get to the bets, Jake, lay down that college football music, baby. Give us that fight song as we celebrate conference championship week. Yeah. Baby, we have 9 conference championship games over the next couple of days. Mike Brown, please throw up the beautiful slate that you put together for Conference Championship Friday and Saturday. Now, these are the marquee games that have the playoff implications involved. Of course, you got Troy and JMU in the Sun Belt, North Texas Tulane in the American. I cannot wait to see the Big 12 title game, the sweat that will be out there for Notre Dame and Miami fans between BYU and Texas, Georgia, Bama in the SEC title game, Duke, Virginia in the ACC, and then the granddaddy of them all in the Big 10, number 2 Indiana versus number 1 Ohio State. We will get to all those games, but we have some more games that did not make the slate, but they are conference title games. So, PJ, let's start off with a couple of big ones before we get to the Mountain West Conference USA and the MAC. And we'll start with the American, which is a college football playoff game because the winner is going to punch their ticket to the CFP. Number 24, North Texas, against number 20, Tulane. And looking at the betting market right now, the green wave are getting bet. We are down to 1.5 over at BetMGM. Total is at 67.5. How do you see this one playing out between North Texas and Tulane, winner to the college football playoff?
Yeah, Tulane's starting to take some money, and I agree with it. They were plus 2.5. You can still get them at plus 1.5, like you were saying, Femi. When you bet as much college football as I do, and I think people who bet a lot of any sport, there are certain teams and certain situations that you pick up on, you just don't fade them. I can't tell you how many times I've faded Tulane in this kind of spot. When they're at home in prime time and there's a fishy line and like the road team is favored, or maybe they're favored by like a short number and the line is telling you to bet the other side. And I think I've lost all of those bets. I lost earlier this year with Duke in this spot. I lost earlier this year with Northwestern. I've lost in the past. I mean, Tulane at home in these kinds of games, the market like never loves them. It's just a really tough place to play, and they're normally really good at home. And my fear with a team like North Texas is when you get into a championship game and a playoff game, because the winner of this game is going to the CFP, I don't love offensive juggernaut teams that aren't great on defense. You know, when you rely that heavily on offense in a game like this, can you win in multiple ways? You know, can North Texas win a 24-20 game if they need to? I don't think it's going to be that low scoring. But I just think if Tulane can force some turnovers, if their defense can make some stops, it's going to be tough for North Texas to win this game. So I do like Tulane plus the 1.5. But Femi, North Texas's offense is really good, man. Look, if you look at the prop markets, it's crazy with this team. Their quarterback, Drew Mestemaker, his passing yards prop is at 314.5. Their leading receiver, Wyatt Young, 103.5. And their leading running back, Caleb Hawkins, 124.5. So these guys put up points. They put up a ton of yards. They move the ball. They got a great offense. They've been scoring a bunch of points all year. But winner-take-all type game, man, more often than not, we all know defense tends to win these games. And I'm going to go with Tulane at home, plus the 1.5.
There you go. Going with the small home dog, the Tulane grew up. So do you anything on the total? So you like Tulane, like, you would still bet it at plus 1.5 or even on the money line at even money. But anything on the total, which is a rather high, 67.5. But like you mentioned, North Texas, they play those kinds of games.
They do. Yeah, and it's actually gone up. It was at like 65.5. It's gone. It's moved up in the last couple hours. So people are betting that over. I'm staying away. You know, I'm not gonna bet it. My hope is that maybe it's like a slow starting first quarter for both of these teams, and maybe you get like a lower total. You know, something in the mid 50s, and maybe you bet a live over or something like that. But no, nothing on the total for me in this game. Just would look at Purdue plus the, or excuse me, Tulane plus the 1.5 against North Texas.
All right. I'll rock with you with Tulane because I want something to sweat tonight. So I'll also be on the Tulane green wave. PJ's watched these teams a hell of a lot more than I have. So I will be tailing PJ here in the American. Tulane, let's get it done. Let's go ahead and punch our ticket to the CFP. The Sun Belt. We have Troy against number 25, James Madison. Obviously, James Madison hoping to take care of business tonight and then rooting for Duke to pull off the upset against Virginia. And perhaps we get two group of five teams in the college football playoff, but this is a massive point spread. JMU, 24.5 point favorites at home, total 47.5. Do you get involved with a game like this, or do you stay away when you're having to lay that kind of a price?
So one of two games that I did not have a bet in this weekend was this one. Because the point spread is so high, the total is so low, JMU's going to win the game. It would only be Troy for me if I had to play it, just because JMU's got everything to lose in a game like this. The angle that I was considering was a Troy team total over, but it's at 12.5, and it's juiced like minus 145. So everybody's kind of thinking the same thing. I mean, Femi, you got a team from Alabama going up to Harrisonburg, Virginia. It's not warm. I can promise you that. It's going to be high 20s. I think the coldest game Troy has played this year has been like 50 degrees, right? So we like always talk about this stuff with the Miami Dolphins and how they never play well in cold weather. So it's definitely going to have an effect on Troy tonight, going up against the best defense by far in the Sun Belt. Troy's got a good defense too, which is why I think maybe they can hang around in a little bit. JMU's just too good, especially at home. So it's gone from 23.5 to 24.5. The fact that now you can get that key number, the hook, 24.5, and they can lose a game like 31-7. I mean, that definitely would make me lean towards Troy, but Femi, think I'm just going to stay away from this game and just root for JMU, because I got a lot of friends that went there, and I would love for them to be able to see their Dukes in the playoff.
Yeah, I think to me, if I had to bet the game, it would be JMU or pass. So I'm just going to pass this game. But I think a lot of people are kind of baking in that the fact that JMU probably needs to impress the committee.
Sure.
Because like, if Duke wins, it's not like a guarantee that they would take JMU. Now, we think they would, because JMU is ranked and Duke is not ranked. But still, it's not like a guarantee that it would be JMU. So like, JMU really has got to put a number on Troy here, which is why we have this big point spread. And that's what everyone has been betting all throughout the week. Open 20.5, now out to 24.5, betting that angle. So I'm going to stay away from this one. Maybe JMU gets down early. We could live bet him at like 17 or something like that. That would be preferred. How about the Mountain West, though, in Boise? Rematch of last year's Mountain West title game. UNLV at Boise State. The Broncos have been taking money all week long. This was 3 earlier in the week. Now I see it as high as 6. BetMGM has 5.5, total 59.5. Can you stomach it with UNLV on the road in the cold, or do we see a repeat of last year?
So this is the other game that I didn't have a bet on, but now that, Femi, you say there are some sixes out there, I might take a stab with UNLV. They've been a good team on the road this season. The only place where they have lost on the road was on the blue turf at Boise. That was like a 56-31 game. So their defense got shredded, which I think helps them in this kind of game. Boise's offense has not been great here down the stretch as of late. And look, Dan Mullins, I mean, he's just a really good coach. And as you would expect with the UNLV team in his first year, they've just gotten better and better as they've gone along. The big fear is what happened last year, because I liked UNLV a lot in this game last year against Genty and Boise, but the cold really affected them. I mean, you're talking about a team from Las Vegas going to Boise. 100%, Femi.
We're not built for it, dog.
No.
We're not.
So it's a different breed up there. But yeah, I think this could be a close game for sure. Boise hasn't been as good as I thought they would be, and I think a lot of people thought they would be. We knew they were going to miss Genty, but their offense at times hasn't been very good. They've also been like a funny team this season, you know? Like, they've lost some games you wouldn't expect them to lose. They've blown out some teams where you'd be like, wow, like, that was an impressive performance. You just never really know what you're going to get out at Boise, but Now that we're at 6, I think that I'm leaning towards UNLV plus the points. This is just a spot where I'm trusting Mullen. I like the number, and I think UNLV's rushing attack is going to be able to keep Boise offense off this field and be able to keep this game close.
Yeah, I'm staying away from this game. I don't trust these guys in the cold weather. That's just me. After what I saw last year, when they looked cold as hell, it's the Michael Irvin tweet. When we played in that cold weather, we was cold. That's what UNLV looked like. Let's go over to the Conference USA. Kennesaw State, Jacksonville State. Right now, Kennesaw State, a 3-point favorite, total 61.5. I know you have a bet in this game.
Femi, do you know where Kennesaw State is?
No clue whatsoever.
Neither do I, but we're taking a -3 tonight against Jacksonville State. All right, it's in Georgia. They're an unbelievable.
Learn something new every day.
They're an unbelievable story this year. It's their first year of FBS football. They were picked like preseason to be second to last in the conference. Nobody knew what to expect. They have lost one conference game this season, and believe it or not, it was to Jacksonville State on the road. So now they get to go back to the scene of the crime, where they lost their only game in conference play. They lost the turnover battle 4-0 in that regular season matchup. Their quarterback threw 4 interceptions. Kennesaw's better. They know they're better. The line's telling you that they're better. and they've been the best team in that league all year. It's a big if, but if they take care of the football, they should win and they should cover. So that is my favorite bet of the week. We all know it's tough to beat a team two times, and the first meeting when the team who is probably not as good won, usually like back in that other team, the better team in the second game. So I think Kennesaw gets it done, man. Year one in Conference USA, I think they're walking out of there with the championship.
Best bet for PJ Glasser, rocking with Kennesaw State. How about in the MAC real quick here? Miami of Ohio, Western Michigan. This will be tomorrow morning over at Ford Field. The Broncos, 1.5-point favorites, total 43.5.
Yeah, I'm on Miami of Ohio. Chuck Martin, their head coach, has been there for about 14 years. He's one of the best in the MAC. Femi, they didn't have a single starter return on offense for this season, and now they're in the MAC title game. They've just gotten better and better, and I think they're the better team, and I think the line is telling you that. So I like Miami of Ohio.
All right, those are your group of five conference title games. On the other side, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, and the Big 10, which has the two top teams in the country. It's coming at you next year on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.